Everybody, one of the important and very fundamental mitzvahs in this week's parsha is the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, v'hayaki sabo'el ha'aretz, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, and that's something that we need to pay attention to, and it's something I'd like to discuss. But let's first mention the comment of Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi in the Sefer HaKuzari. Many might be familiar with the Sefer HaKuzari. It was written in the 1100s. It was supposedly a discussion between Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, one of the great Rishonim, and the Melech HaKuzarim, a non-Jewish king who was interested in religion and who was trying to find out a little bit about the philosophy of Jewish religion. And he asked very difficult, very pointed questions to the Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi about the religion, and they have an exchange of words about many different issues that came up. Before we start today's Divrei Torah, I'd like to dedicate them in honor of Hila Bas Hermina, who is going through a very important medical procedure as we speak. And it is my hope that our Divrei Torah will be a schus, that everything should be okay for her. So one of the questions that Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi presents, I'm sorry, that the Melech HaKuzarim presents, is about the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. And he asks Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, I've seen through many psukim throughout Chumash that it seems that there's a very important significance to Eretz Yisrael, and yet it seems that many people are not living there. So what's going on? What's the story? So he writes back to him as follows. Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi says, I was able to answer you on all your questions about kashrus and about everything, about Shabbos and about all the halachas d'oraisa d'rabbanan. I was able to get past all of it. Now that you're pinning me about the issue of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, achein matzasa makom charpasi melech hakuzah. You have found my embarrassment. You have uncovered my humiliation. Because I really have no answer. You want to know why no one's living in Eretz Yisrael? I don't have a good answer for you. And he says, Ki amnam chet zehu asher beglalo lo niskayim hayud asher yad ha'loka lebayis hasheni. God, as we know, in history, the Navi tells us that God sent the Jewish people out into Galus. Then it was time for Bayis Sheni to once again come up. The Jewish people did not respond as enthusiastically as they should. Only a very small number of them came. V'rubam v'chashivusam shebahem. Many of the people and the very dignified members of the Jewish people, nisharu b'bavel, they remained in the exile and they did not listen to God's calling. And they were maskimim l'galus. They were content with the fact that they were in galus and bavel. And therefore, because of that, he writes, many things went wrong and God didn't bring about the promises that he said he was going to bring. And he said, if only ilu hayinu muchanim lehiskarev el alokei avoseinu, if only we would be willing to take that step and to initiate that relationship and come back to Eretz Yisrael, az hayahu yizbarach moshiyenu, then God himself would save us, the same way he did when he took our fathers out of Mitzrayim. But achshav she'ein hadavar kein, says Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, now that we know this is not the case, ein hadvarim shanu amrim mitfilaseinu, he says, this that we say every day in our davening, hamachzer shchinas ha'letzion, es tzemach David avdecha, we say these phrases every day, they are only kedibur hatochi v'ketzifzuf hazarzir. These are like a parrot that's talking, or like a bird that's chirping. It's meaningless to any of us. And he says, that's what we mean when we say v'sechazene einenu. This is what Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi writes, and he says, much to my chagrin, you have really nailed me on a question that I don't have a satisfactory answer for. So, the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is something that is certainly extremely primary, extremely important. It's something that's very critical, and it's very relevant. It's a mitzvah that is prevailing even today. It's relevant even in our times. But one of the most common deterrents, one of the most important obstacles that we find today, look, in our heart of hearts, we all want to be in Eretz Yisrael. We know that. We love to visit. We love to be there as much as we can. We know that to be the case. But one of the great impediments that we find today, one of the great obstacles that we have, is the fact that many people do not have the opportunity to have a sustainable income when living in Eretz Yisrael. And that's something I want to discuss today because it comes up very often. People ask, well, how much should I risk to go to Eretz Yisrael? I'm not in a position to give a definitive answer, but it's something that I've looked into and it's something that I have a very deep interest in, not only personally, but I think communally it's an important thing to think about as well. So let's talk about that. The Pischei Tshuva, who has a commentary on the bottom of Shulchan Aruch, writes in Eben Ezer in the name of the Me'il Tzedakah. I don't know much about the Me'il Tzedakah, but I do know that if the Pischei Tshuva brings it on the page of Shulchan Aruch, it's something we should be aware of. So he writes the following. Amnam, he said, Ki tzarech b'tchila tenai echad. One prerequisite, one precondition for moving to Eretz Yisrael and being mekayim the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz is, Sheyihi lo makom muchan lihiyos matzei lo sham parnasaso. One prerequisite that you have for moving to Eretz Yisrael is that a person should be able to have the opportunity to have an occupation, to have a profession that they're going to be able to practice in Eretz Yisrael. Dekol she'ein lo sham parnasa muchenes. If somebody just says, I'll wing it, I'll go to Eretz Yisrael and maybe I'll figure it out, maybe I won't, and maybe I'll be able to sustain my family and maybe I won't. Ma'vira al daito, he said, that will make you go insane. Ve'aldas kono chas v'shalom. And God won't be happy with you either. So he says one very important precondition is that Yishuv Haaretz is very important, and we know that it has a very primary focus in our religion, and it's something the Torah speaks about so many times. However, the Pischa Tshuva writes, one has to make sure that they have the ability to take care of their family. If you're going to go and really not really plan properly for that, he says that is something that he considers to be an irresponsible thing to do. The Chayei Adam writes as well. The Chayei Adam was also a very important halachic authority. He writes, Mishe'en yado maseges lefarnes esatzmo be'eretz Yisrael. Someone who doesn't have the ability to be mefarnes himself while living in Eretz Yisrael. However, b'chutz la'aretz mefarnes esatzmo be'yegia kapo. In chutz la'aretz, let's say he has a good job, I have the ability to support myself. In Eretz Yisrael, for some reason, I can't figure out how to make it work. He says, Ein suffik, I have no doubt, says the Chayei Adam, shemutav lo lader b'chutz la'aretz. It is preferable for you to live in chutz la'aretz and to be able to take care of your family than to move to Eretz Yisrael and to perform that mitzvah. The mitzvah is not worth it, says the Chayei Adam, if you're going to have to put yourself onto others and make them support you and take care of you. The Pa'as HaShulchan, who was one of the great and most prominent Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, he moved to Eretz Yisrael and he was one of the proponents of the Aliyah movement in his generation, in the 1800s, Rabbi Yisrael Mishklov, writes this as well. He writes, in my opinion, obviously the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is relevant even today. It's something we need to think about. However, he says, it is important that a person knows tikkun ha-parnasa, how you're going to take care of yourself, kidei shelo yavohu ledechduche anius, in order that you don't come to a level where you just cannot take care of yourself, because he writes, based on a Gemara in Ervin, that will drive a person to violate averus, maybe to steal, maybe to cut corners and do things they shouldn't do. However, he says, someone who has the ability to support themselves in Eretz Yisrael the same way they were able to in Chutz La'aretz, he says, obviously, Vaday mitzvah rabba b'yeshivas Eretz Yisrael gamata. Obviously, he has the best of all worlds. You can have a parnasa and you can be in Eretz Yisrael. That's great. However, he says, barring that opportunity, it's something that he would suggest a person not do. The Archas Chaim, who was one of the great Rishonim in the 1300s, also a very prominent one of the Rishonim, writes, this idea as well, that it's important that a person take care of the Parnassa before they move, and that they have a plan that is going to direct them in that way that they can be able to take care of themselves. And he says, Kol mi she'ein lo osher v'yecholos lalecha, somebody who doesn't have that ability, that you don't have enough money in savings, or you don't have a plan to take care of yourself, u'matriach atzma al hakeilos. It's not me talking, this is the Archas Chaim. He says, you go to Eretz Yisrael and you say, I want to be Mekayim in the midst of Yishuv Haaretz. I don't have a plan how I'm going to do it. I don't have a sustainable income. I don't have any vocation that allows me to go there and just set up shop there. Says the Archas Chaim, a person who goes there and puts himself on others, and now you're going to be knocking on the doors asking people to help you, and you're saying, please help me because look, I made the sacrifice, I moved to Eretz Yisrael, I did what I was supposed to do. He says, Chalila v'chalila. Elokama averus uose. He says, in my opinion, I feel, you're not performing a mitzvah, you're violating a terrible avera. Ve'ein lo zchus klal. You get no credit for that at all. Elachovas harbe. You're lining up a big rack of credit against God. U'mitzvah haba ba'avera HaKadosh Baruch Hu sona. He says, a mitzvah that comes through violating an avera is not something that God is proud of. God is not going to be happy with that. And therefore, he says, this is something that I would not advise. So, that's number one, that it's important that a person make sure that they have a parnasa before making the plan to move to Eretz Yisrael, or at least having some sort of way that they think they can do it, a reasonable plan. That's something that is obviously very important. There was a grandson of the Kutzker, the great Rabbi Nachum Mendel Mikutsk. He was one of the important figures in the 1800s, and he wrote a kuntres called Shlom Yerushalayim, in which, very uncharacteristic of a Chassidish Rebbe, but he very much put together his feelings about moving to Eretz Yisrael. So he has what I think is a very unusual case. He says, and by the way, that Sefer Shlomi Yerushalayim has a haskama from three great gedolim. One of them is Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, who was one of the great, great leaders of European Jewry before World War I. One was the Sfas Emes, who was a great Hasidish Rebbe, the Ger Rebbe. And the third one was from Rav Kook. So it was fascinating that he got from many different communities, all of them to be maskim to the same sefer that he wrote, which was called Shlom Yerushalayim. And there, he raises the following issue, which is fascinating in my opinion. He says, I know of a family who wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael because they had no parnasa in Chutz La'aretz, and there they saw there was an opportunity in high tech, or obviously not in high tech then, but in our time we would say there was a startup company, a high tech something in Israel that was going to be very successful, very promising to them. And they wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael, not because they cared at all about the mitzvah of Yeshiva Aretz, but because they just saw that there was an opportunity to make a parnasa there. So he writes that he was wondering, is that something that should be considered as if they've performed the mitzvah? Because after all, they are living there, and they went. Yes, it's true, they went for the wrong reasons, but in the end of the day, they made the move, they made it there, maybe that should be good enough. So that's a question that he raises. And he says, in my opinion, what would you say to a person on Leil HaSeder? I love eating matzah because I'm so hungry. I haven't eaten the whole Erev Pesach afternoon. After all, there's nothing really to eat. You can't eat matzah, you can't eat chametz. So a person comes to Leil HaSeder and he's so excited about the fact that he's eating the matzah, not because I want to eat the matzah, but because I'm starving. So you say, would that detract from my mitzvah? Of course not, he writes. So why would this detract from my mitzvah? If I move to Eretz Yisrael because the parnasa is very promising for me, why should that take away at all from the mitzvah? And that's what he argues. He thinks it makes a lot of sense. And he has letters in there where the Sfasemis, the Ger Rebbe, responded to him, and he says, I'm not entirely convinced of what you said. So the first letter that the Sfasemis writes to him is, yes, you're true, you're right. Maybe we can say, mitoch shelo lishma balishma. Maybe we can say, yes, you went maybe with the wrong intent, but in the end of the day, you're there, and you made it, and you moved your family, you made the sacrifice. Maybe that's considered to be good enough, and you performed the mitzvah of Yeshiva Aretz. However, the Sfasemis then tones it down a little bit, and the Sfasemis writes, no. He says, this that you bring a proof from Achilas Matzah on the night of the Seder, and you say, well, maybe a person wants to eat it because they're so hungry, and therefore they get points anyway. He says, I'm not sure that's such a definitive proof, because after all, he writes, what if you have a person who set aside a whole meal on Leil HaSeder to eat, right? They have meats and chickens and everything, all this delicious food. It turns out all the food gets rotten and spoiled, and now they come to Leil HaSeder, there's nothing left for them to eat. So the Sfasemis raises the question. He said, now that all I have left to eat is matzah, not because I'm interested in the matzah, but because everything else that I prepared is destroyed. Would you tell me that that's really considered to be the mitzvah bishleimusa, the mitzvah in the proper way that it's supposed to be performed? Probably not, he writes. And therefore, he writes over here, he thought that scenario was more similar to this. But either way, that's generally not the issue that we have today. Generally, most people are not moving to Eretz Yisrael because they see the opportunity for parnasa is so much greater there. But it's a fascinating caveat to be aware of regardless that was raised by the grandson of the Kutzker Rebbe and was discussed.
It's probably true, though.
So maybe today, by high tech, maybe today it is, perhaps. But it's unusual. Now, Rabbi Yosef Engel, again, one of the great, great Gedolim, writes in his Sefer on Ksubas Daf Kuf Yud. In the end of Maseches Ksubas, the very last daf, we have some Gemaras that discuss the mitzvah of Yeshiva Aretz and some very beautiful stories about Yeshiva Aretz. So there, Rabbi Yosef Engel comments the following, and he says, Shamati b'shem gadol echad. He doesn't identify who he's referring to, but he says, I heard from one of the great leaders in our time, She'ikar yeshivas Eretz Yisrael hi, that the main purpose, one of the main objectives of mitzvos Yeshiva Aretz is only behistapkus me'Eretz Yisrael, not just to live there. It's not good enough to live there, but one of the main reasons that a person has to live there is not just to live, but also to be sustained from the land itself. Hainu, she'tia ha'parnasa misham, that a person has to find a job there in Eretz Yisrael itself. Aval, he says, I heard from this great gadol, Osam Shadarim Sham, those who live in Eretz Yisrael, Parnasasam, Mimasha Anshe Chutz La'aretz Mefarnesim Osam, those who have a job there, those who live there, but who work for Citibank in New York, or who work for some online company that's not in Eretz Yisrael, he says, that is not considered Ein Ze Iker Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael. That's what Rabbi Yosef Engel argues, that is not the mitzvah b'shleimusa of living in Eretz Yisrael. If you're not living there and also contributing to the economy there and having a job there, if you have all your parnasa coming from Chutz La'aretz, he argues, that is not sufficiently considered to be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yeshiva Aretz the way it's supposed to be done. What? So this is what he writes. Now, number one, he doesn't identify who this Gadol Echad is. He doesn't say who it is. The Gadol Echad, I assume, is the Avnei Nezer. The great Avnei Nezer writes this in his Tshuva Sefer, almost identical to what Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes in his name. And he brings a proof to this as well. It's a little bit of a shaky proof. The Abnezer writes that maybe you can learn this from Yaakov Avinu. After all, Yaakov Avinu meets up with his brother Esav, and he says he's going to give him everything that he accumulated from the house of Lavan. Now that he meets up with him again, he says, I don't want anything that I got from the house of Lavan, you can take it all. And Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Ein nichse chutz la'aretz kedayim li. All the money from chutz la'aretz is worth absolutely nothing to me. And that's why he gives it all to Esav. Yes, it's money that I can use wisely, but he says it's worthless to me because it's money from chutz la'aretz. So from here, the Avnezer argues, maybe we should say that money from chutz la'aretz is worthless, and part of the mitzvah of yishuva aretz is not just to live there, but also to sustain oneself from the land of Eretz Yisrael and to have a parnasa there as well. Now, this is a very, very unusual opinion of the Avnezer, and if that was the case, I would say probably many people in Eretz Yisrael are not really performing the mitzvah the way they're supposed to. We know that very much to our great blessing today, we have many people who move to Eretz Yisrael and who have the opportunity to make a parnasa from chutz la'aretz. They're connected with some company that is not based in Eretz Yisrael and it's not really affecting the economy there, but it's something that they have the opportunity to do. Now, the Avnezer writes, obviously you get a partial mitzvah, but that is not the complete mitzvah the way it's supposed to be done. I did see, what? Interesting. So I did see, interesting, that's a good point. I did see that the Minchas HaLazar, I see it's time for Mincha already, or it's past time for Mincha. I did see that the Minchas HaLazar, with this will close. The Munkacher Rebbe writes in his Tshuva Sefer a very interesting objection that he had to this Avnezer. Many Acharonim did not accept the Avnezer's opinion at all. And obviously, let's not make a mistake. It's important for us to support the causes of Eretz Yisrael and don't just get out of it by saying, oh, you know, you're all supposed to be taking care of yourself because money from chutz la'aretz is worth nothing. That is obviously not what the Avnezer had in mind at all. But the Minchas HaLazar writes that he can't even believe that the Avnezer wrote such a thing. Not that we don't paskin like him, but how did he even write such a thing? He says, after all, throughout all the generations, throughout all the millennia, in the days of the Beis Yosef and the Alshech and all the great Gedolim, throughout all the generations we know, they were always making collections for the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, and they were always supporting the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. So what can you say? They were doing that because that was something that was objectionable? They were doing that because that was something that is going to prevent the people living there from really being mekayim the mitzvah the way they're supposed to? How can you even imagine such a thing? And therefore writes the Minchas HaLazar, in my opinion, he says, Echnucha lahamin, how can you even believe? Sheyatzu chas v'shalom dvarim zarim ke'elu mipiv. How can you even imagine? How can you even think that the Avnezer would ever say such a thing, or that he would write such a thing? Elavade, it must be that Shuvazu Chibro Kabo Niyaros Mufradim. It must be the Avnezer had a bunch of papers in his office, and his children, after he passed away, put together this paper with that paper, something with the other, and they made a convoluted Shuva that he didn't write himself. And he says, Hulokas of Shuvazu, he says, in my opinion, it's impossible that the Avnezer wrote such a thing. Now, it's a nice thing to say, but Rabbi Yosef Engel writes that he heard the same thing in the name of the Avnezer, which probably would seem to be an indication that the Avnezer maybe really said it. Whether or not we paskin like him is a different story, but I think this is a very interesting issue, not only because halacha is always an interesting issue, but because it's something that is extremely relevant. Many people who, in their heart of hearts, really want to go back to Eretz Yisrael, really want to move to Eretz Yisrael, it's something that Parnas is really one of the great impediments, it's one of the great issues and obstacles that they have to overcome. And this is something that the Achronim deal with in great length to figure out, at what point do we say a person is being reasonable and is being responsible to say, well, I'm allowed to hold back my family from performing this mitzvah because, after all, I don't have a way to sustain myself. On the other hand, do we say, at some point you have to be mekayim the mitzvah and maybe the parnasa is something that should be pushed aside because you will be able to take care of yourself from chutz la'aretz as well. Yeah.